Even as some types of crime fell last year, murders and other violent crimes rose sharply in cities across the country, a trend that has continued this year. The causes are not well understood, and there are strong disagreements about how to address the problem. As Amna Nawaz reports, this debate over how to tackle violence is playing out in Atlanta.
She was shot 7 times in her back, and then they flipped her over and they shot her 1 time in her hand.
In the early hours of May 17th at this Northwest Atlanta apartment complex, 27-year-old Alicia Merrill was shot and killed.
Would have been right in this spot where the sand is, right over here.
Her aunt, Vanessa Cox Logan, said she'd been throwing out trash at this dumpster while helping a friend to move.
It's the worst feeling of my life, and I could never get that back.
Alicia's mom, Sonia Merrill, remembers the phone call with the news that her daughter had been killed.
I didn't want to believe it. One of my child is gone. She was the first of 6 of my kids, and she grew me up. She taught me how to be a mom.
Alicia was one of 6 people shot and killed in Atlanta that weekend alone.
Crime across the metro is on the top of minds.
Crime in Atlanta, another violent weekend in Atlanta.
Part of a spike in violent crimes the city's seen since 2019, with aggravated assaults up 20% and murders up 52%.
From a year-to-year perspective, it was a historic surge in violence last year.
Princeton professor Patrick Sharkey, who tracks violent crime in American cities, says Atlanta is not alone. In St. Louis last year, murders increased by 35%, by 18% in San Jose, in Austin, 42%, Detroit, 19%, and New York City saw an increase of 45%.
So you had the pandemic and all the suffering and the abandonment of communities that went into that, then you had this proliferation of guns. It creates the potential for more altercations to become lethal, for more fights to become shootings.
Historically, crime in American cities rose sharply between the 1960s and the 1980s, then fell from the 90s through 2014 when numbers again began to climb. The 2020 surge, Sharkey says, was notable. And calls for racial justice and police reform, he believes, also played a role.
Police may decide not to get involved in an incident where they have some discretion of whether to respond or not. Residents may also decide to check out and no longer call the police.
In Atlanta, the June 2020 police shooting of Rayshard Brooks, a black man confronted while he slept in a parking lot, sparked weeks of protest. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms criticized the use of deadly force. The police chief resigned. And after 2 officers were charged following Brooks' death, more than 150 other officers called out sick. Dozens have since resigned. Today, Atlanta's police department is hundreds of officers short.
I mean, I don't really think the police is the answer.
Columbus Ward has lived in the South Atlanta neighborhood of Peoplestown his whole life. This majority black neighborhood has seen some of the city's worst violence.
Rayshard Brooks got killed right in our neighborhood by police. So that, who do you trust? You know, how many people want to trust the police?
It's like a war zone.
Ethel Floyd has lived here for 57 years.
It's a well-known fact about the police. They only come after the fact. Bringing in more police officers is not going to help. It only going to add fuel to the fire.
Resident after resident here tell us they're wary of an increased police presence, but some of their neighbors in North Atlanta disagree.
This northern suburb, known as Buckhead, was annexed by Atlanta in the 1950s, and here too, they've seen an increase in crime recently, which is why some residents in this wealthy and mostly white neighborhood now say the solution is to break away.
We feel we're living in a war zone in Buckhead.
Bill White is leading the effort to create a separate city of Buckhead, allowing them to use their own tax base to fund their own budget. White says their city would lobby to tighten bail and sentencing rules and deploy its own independent police force.
A massive police presence will be something that the new Buckhead City Police Department will absolutely provide.
Buckhead's departure would take away significant resources from Atlanta. By some estimates, this area comprises 40% of Atlanta's property wealth, a large part of its tax base. Critics say that would hurt the city's ability to stem rising crime and inequality.
And I think what Buckhead City will do will most certainly push the criminals away from Buckhead. And everybody in Buckhead loves that idea.
How does taking those resources away help the rest of the city?
Well, Atlanta has done this to themselves. We're not taking anything away from them. They've done this to themselves.
It doesn't really kind of resonate with you until you go through something yourself.
Buckhead resident Ileana Kovic backs the effort to break away after she and her boyfriend, Jason Eads, were brutally assaulted in a parking lot last June.
The, like, sheer terror of having someone put a knife in your face and tell you profanity and say to get on your knees and beg for your life, punch you until you're unconscious. Like, I didn't ask for that.
What do you think it would take for you to feel safe right now?
Definitely more of a police presence.
More police on the streets, Sharkey says, would reduce crime in the short term, but without addressing underlying issues, wouldn't stop cycles of crime over the long term. It also carries additional costs, he says, in the form of police violence, mass incarceration, and intensive surveillance, disproportionately impacting communities of color.
We should be pushing police to do their job differently, to build trust and legitimacy, but we should also be investing in a different set of community institutions and organizations and ask them to play a larger role in contributing to safe, stronger neighborhoods.
You don't see this as an either or. This is a both and.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've never made a different commitment focused on investing in communities as the response to violence and all of the challenges that come with extreme inequality.
Our goal is to not do, but to work with.
But in People's Town, they've made that investment in recent years and are starting to see a return.
We have seen a decrease in violence through community collaboration, partnerships, and referrals, and not increased policing.
Aaron Johnson is a trauma responder for local nonprofit Chris 180. Since 2018, his program has partnered with others to step up early intervention here, including wellness programs like this, all with the goal of stopping violence before it happens.
Close our eyes.
Efforts like yoga and mindfulness to help cope with trauma, training younger residents how to de-escalate conflict, even food and mask distribution during the pandemic. While crime spiked across Atlanta last year, this area has seen a 50% decrease.
And I believe that violence stems from the lack of equitable resources, the ability to attain these resources, whether it be financial resources, whether it be educational resources. So when the Trauma Response Network comes in and other agencies come into communities to combat said violence, it's about bringing resources to communities.
More than 2 months later, Alicia Merrill's murder remains unsolved. No arrests have been made. And while Vanessa Cox Logan isn't opposed to more police help, her family and her community, she says, need more than that.
What do you think it would take to make you feel safe right now?
We need these cameras to be working. We need adequate wraparound services. I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, it really will take the entire village.
Outgoing Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms recently announced plans to hire 250 additional police officers, as well as expand investment in community groups. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Amna Nawaz in Atlanta.